the day on the Vaishnav calendar in which we commemorate two very significant historical incidents. The day that Vishwarup, the elder brother of the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepted the renounced order of life, and also the day that His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada accepted the renounced order of life in order to facilitate the execution of the instruction of His spiritual master, to spread the glories of Krishna and Krishna's name throughout the world. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, the beautiful story of Vishwarup is described. Lord Krishna descend in this age of Kali Yuga, once in every day of Brahma, in His original form. But covered with the golden complexion and with the heart of the love of Srimati Radharani. And that incarnation is known as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this incarnation, Krishna spreads devotion to Himself, to everyone without discrimination, through the process of the congregational chanting of the holy names. The story is very wonderful. Nanda and Yashoda of the eternal world of Vrindavan descended in the form of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. And they had 8 daughters. And each of these daughters somehow died just after birth. And they prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that they would have a child that would live. And Lord Krishna sent an expansion of His eternal brother, Lord Balaram, from the spiritual world to enter into the womb of Sachi Devi. And when this child was born, Sachi and Jagannath Mishra were abundant in unlimited happiness, because the beauty and the charm of this child and all the auspicious marks that decorated him were the sign of a divine being. And they named him Vishwarup. Vishwarup was completely renounced of any material desires from his very birth. He was an ocean of all good qualities. Whoever came in contact was simply charmed and stunned by his mannerisms, by his devotion. And soon after this, the Supreme Lord Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya. When he was a child, he was named by his parents Vishwambhar as his prominent name, and also Nimai and Gaur Hari. Vishwambhar, when he grew a little older in his childhood, he was very, very mischievous. He would perform so many pranks that literally anything he would touch, he would break to pieces. And he would run around with his friends, and Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita tells so many wonderful, wonderful stories of the various mischievous activities and the wonderful games he would play with his friends. There wasn't a game that he did not play. And he was very out of control, because as the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who could control him? So whenever his parents would try to correct him, he would not listen. In fact, any time they instructed him about what not to do, he would do that thing 10 times more. So therefore, his parents basically had to remain quiet and let him do what he wanted to do. But it was very wonderful, because whatever he did, simultaneously, although it disturbed people externally because he was so mischievous, it awakened the greatest love and attraction in their hearts for him. So Vishwambar listened to no one except Vishwaroop, because Vishwaroop was so renounced, he was so gentle, he was such an embodiment of compassion, that even Vishwambar respected him with great reverence. And when Vishwaroop would see his younger brother performing all of these incredibly wonderful pranks, he understood that, why is it that there is so much love in my heart for this boy? What is it that any supernatural thing he could do at any time? He is not an ordinary child. In fact, he is Krishna himself, who has descended in this world to perform his leela. But Vishwaroop would not reveal this to anyone else. In fact, Vishwaroop, he was so much discouraged by the situation in society, because at that time, Navadvip, where he was born, was the high seat of education for all of India. And as we know, Queen Kunti said, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shribir Edamana Madhapuman, that the greatest disqualifications for spiritual life is material beauty, material wealth, material prestige of high family, and material education. Why? Because they make you proud. If they are used in Krishna's service, they are great assets. But when they are used for our sense gratification, they only make us very hard-hearted. We think, who do I have to listen to? Who do I have to serve when I am great? So the people, is there someone translating for those who do not understand English? This should always be arranged before we start. You can arrange now. Somebody announce. And Kalavati Mataji, you will. Krishna consciousness is not only for English-speaking people. It is for everyone, even English-speaking people. The people of Navadvip, they had no respect for the devotees of the Lord. In fact, they were continuously blaspheming and criticizing the devotees of the Lord. When they would see the devotees, they would say to them such things as, the sannyasis, the sadhus, the pious religious people, and the faithful chaste wives, they all die like everyone else. So what is the use of all of your so-called pious activities? After all, real fortune is to have a nice palanquin, is to have luxurious food, good homes, to have 10 people running behind you and 10 or 20 people running in front of you making all arrangements. This is fortune. You people are weeping and crying for Krishna, and what do you have? How much money do you have? How much control over others do you have? You are all wasting your time. And besides that, you are calling Krishna's name out so loud, he is disturbed by your screaming, and he is angry with you. In this way, they would make so many statements. And those who are reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, they never once mention anything about devotion to Krishna. They were so hard-hearted, and in this way they were misleading everyone else. And except for the few devotees there were gathered around Advaitacharya in his home, nowhere did you hear the kirtan of the holy name, although it is the only true religious principle in the age of Kali. So the devotees, their hearts were broken. They were literally weeping to see the condition of society. The people were so materially attached that they were thinking that money, children, and material education was the all in life. That was the standard of success. And in this way, Vishwarup, he became so discouraged that he didn't even want to see the faces of these materialistic people. So early in the morning, he would take his bath in the river Ganges, and then he would go directly to Advaita Acharya's house. In Advaita Acharya's house, the only thing that went on was Harikatha and Harikirtan. And when he would arrive at Advaita's house early in the morning, Advaita would be offering his aarti, and he would stop the aarti, and in such emotional bliss, he would come and embrace Vishwarup. And all the devotees would welcome him. And although Vishwarup was a small boy, he would speak Srimad Bhagavatam. He would speak with such conviction, with such realization. And he would speak only one subject. Pure unalloyed devotion to Krishna is the essence, the conclusion, the all-in-all of all scriptures. And he spoke with such philosophical and transcendental realization that no one could even stand before him in argument or debate. He would crash everything to pieces except pure devotional service to the Lord. And when the devotees heard him, they would simply listen throughout the day, floating in bliss. They couldn't give up the company of this Vishwarup. He was the very object of so much affection in their hearts. In fact, all of the persecution and all the criticism that the whole society was putting upon them was completely forgotten when Vishwarup would begin to recite the glories of Krishna and the glories of pure devotional service. And in this house, Vishwarup, his heart was always filled with the bliss of the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So he never wanted to leave. Sachi Devi would cook nice bhoga and offer it to their family deity. And he would ask Vishwambar, Nimai, that you bring your brother home for prasad. So Vishwambar, he would be playing with his friends, and he would say, yes, mother. And he ran to Advaita's house. And just when he came, they were all immersed in the ecstasy of discussing Krishna's glories. And Vishwambar, when he heard his own glories being sung by his pure devotees, he was very happy, and he began to bestow his loving glances upon all the Vaishnavas. And when his loving glance touched them, they couldn't even speak Krishna's glories anymore. They were stunned. They were silent. They couldn't even take their eyes off this child for a second. He had no clothes on, and he was covered with dust from playing, and he was very small. And they were just staring at him and gazing at him. And as they were gazing at him, the love in their hearts was just exploding in ecstasy. And then he would turn to his brother Vishwarup and pull him by his dhoti cloth and say, "Mother is calling you to eat. Come to eat." And then he would pull Vishwarup and they would together go off to Sachi Devi's house. Meanwhile, the Vaishnavas, they were still stunned. And Advaitacharya began to speak and to think, "Who is this child? He is not an ordinary child. He is attracting our hearts with so much love, so much devotion. We cannot stop thinking of him. We cannot stop talking about him. We cannot think of anything but him when he comes before us." But by the power of Yogamaya is that potency which deludes the pure devotees. None of them could understand that he was the Supreme Lord Krishna that they were speaking about. They loved him as much as Krishna, but they could not understand because it was not the Lord's desire to reveal it at that time. How is this? It is said that the residents of Vrindavan, they actually all loved Krishna more than they loved their own children. The gopis, they had their own children. And Shukadeva Goswami, when he explained to Maharaj Parikshit how all the gopis loved Krishna, another person's child, more than their own, Parikshit Maharaj said, "This is unbelievable. Everyone knows how much you love your own child. How can you possibly love another person's child more than your own?" And this is a great secret revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami explained that Krishna is the super soul in everyone's heart. And it is Krishna in a person's heart that gives a person any qualities that we are attracted to. When Krishna leaves your heart, you are a dead corpse. Even your own father, even your own mother, your own husband, wife, or your own child, when Krishna leaves their heart, you throw the person out of the house and put him in the flames or put her under the ground. So actually, it is only Krishna in the heart that makes anyone attractive. The super soul. And Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, he is the source of the super soul. So it is for this reason we can understand when Krishna played as a cowherd boy in Braj Bhumi, everyone was most attracted to him. But why is it that people like Kamsa and Shishupal, they hated Krishna? They tried to kill him. It is because of their offenses. If one makes aparads, Krishna does not reveal himself to that person. And the example given by Vrindavan Das Thakur is, sugar is sweet, but if your tongue is diseased, you only taste bitterness. In the same way, Krishna is all attractive. But if you are covered by the disease of offenses against the Lord and His devotees, then even if sugar is on your tongue, you only taste bitter. Even if Krishna is before you, either in the form of His deity, in the form of the narrations of His pastimes, in the form of His name, these things are all non-different than Krishna Himself. If we are chanting the holy names of Krishna and we are not in ecstatic bliss, if we are not simply charmed and attracted and all our material desires vanquished just by the sound of Krishna's name, it means our tongue is still covered by offenses. Our consciousness still has offenses against the Lord in it. But if we go on chanting and guard against the offenses under the instruction of proper spiritual teachers, gradually Krishna reveals Himself to us by His own independent free will. So in this way, although Lord Chaitanya, as Vishvambhar, was playing and chanting all around, playing and revealing Himself to all the residents of Navadvip, only the devotees could feel the ecstasy of love for Him. But still, they didn't understand that He was Krishna at that time. So Vishwambhar brought Vishwaroop back to his home, and Vishwaroop took prasad, and he didn't stay home longer than it took to take prasad. He immediately went back to Advaita's house. He spent the whole day at Advaita's house. And when he was in his own home, he spent all of his time in the deity room, worshipping the Lord and chanting his holy names. So his parents were thinking that Vishwaroop has no inclination, no attachment to anything of this material world, because his heart was always filled with the bliss of Harinam Sankirtan. So they were thinking that he should be married. So they began to make arrangements for his marriage. And when Vishwaroop heard this, he couldn't sleep at night. He was thinking, this material world is simply a place of illusion and suffering. Therefore, I will renounce this world and I will go to the forest. And after a few days, on this auspicious day that we are celebrating today, without saying anything to anyone, Vishwaroop disappeared from his home and he accepted the order of sannyas. And he was given the name Shankararanya Swami Maharaj. And he followed the path of the highest truths of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the news came that Vishwaroop has taken sannyas, his brother, Vishwambhar, he fell unconscious in the torment of separation from his beloved brother. And the grief that entered into the hearts of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi knew no bounds. They were beside themselves, weeping and crying. And the relatives and friends came to somehow pacify them. They said, "You are so fortunate. You are crying, but you are most fortunate. Because if someone in your family takes sannyas, 60 million family members get liberated. How fortunate you are. He has saved your family." He's such a great soul. And besides that, you have Vishwambhar. What kind of a son is he? Nimai Pandit, he's a son that can, he's worth 10 million sons. And he will never leave you. So be peaceful. So hearing these words, Jagannath Mishra became somewhat peaceful. But then he would remember the qualities of Vishwaroop and he would forget all that peacefulness. And he would begin to lament and to cry. And out of the mouths of both Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra, they were just continually singing, "Vishwaroop, Vishwaroop." And then Jagannath Mishra began to reflect on transcendental knowledge. This son, Vishwambhar, I do not know how long he will stay home. But Krishna gave me a son, and then Krishna took that son away. Lord Krishna Chandra's will is supreme. And whatever he desires must be. Ultimately, everything is the property of Krishna. And without Krishna's mercy, we have no power to do anything. So therefore, Jagannath Mishra, understanding that I am not this body, I am the eternal soul, and Krishna is the supreme goal and the supreme principle and the supreme controller, he prayed, "My dear Lord Krishna, I surrender everything and I surrender my life to you." And with this, he became gradually more peaceful. And after Vishwaroop took sannyas, Lord Chaitanya became very well behaved. He became very sober. And he began very much interested in his studies. And he no longer played with his friends. He no longer did mischief. He would just study the scriptures. And how he studied the scriptures? Anything he studied once, he would remember forever. And he began to debate on the basis of what he was studying, and no one could come near him in debate. And the friends of Jagannath Mishra were glorifying him, that soon he will even defeat Brihaspati in debate. We have never seen such a learned, intelligent young child. And Sachi Mata was very happy to see her child so excelling in his studies. But soon Jagannath Mishra became very worried. Something entered into his mind. He was thinking that Vishwarup studied the scriptures, and by studying the scriptures he realized that this material world is illusion and everything ends in suffering, and real happiness is in surrender to God. If my Vishwambhar studies the scriptures, the same thing will happen to him. He will leave home. So he explained to Sachi Mata he should no longer study. We will forbid him to ever study again. Because if he understands the futility of this world, he will leave us. And he is all we have. We cannot live without him. We will die. And Sachi Mata said, how can you stop him from his studies? How will he learn his livelihood if he is not educated? And how will we get him a nice daughter in marriage if he is not educated? And Jagannath Mishra, when he heard these arguments, he said, you are an unintelligent daughter of a great Brahman. You are speaking like this. He said, everything is depending on Krishna's mercy. Everything is dependent on Krishna's protection. He is the source of everything. He is the maintainer. He is the creator. He is the destroyer of the universe. If he wants to protect someone, it doesn't matter what material qualifications or disqualifications one may have. He said, you just look and see. He said, I am a very learned scholar. I know the scriptures so well. I'm such a great teacher. And there's hardly even any rice in our house to eat. And yet you'll find that there are men who cannot even read or write one letter of the alphabet. And there are thousands of great pundits at their door begging for alms. And they are supplying for everyone. If Krishna wants to give you, he will give you. It is not based on material education. It is not based on any material consideration. Jagannath Mishra explained that there are people who are so wealthy, so luxurious in all of their opulences, but they have a disease and they cannot enjoy any of it, and they die miserably. If Krishna doesn't want to give you happiness, there's nothing you can do. Therefore, you should know that our son is dear to Krishna. And you are a chaste woman. You are a great devotee of the Lord. And I am also a devotee of the Lord. I promise you Krishna will protect our child. He needs no education. If he's destined to have a good wife, he will have a good wife. And I will make sure not even a drop of suffering ever touches him. And then he called Vishwambhar, and he said, Vishwambhar, from today on, you are no longer allowed to study. It is forbidden. And Vishwambhar would not disobey the instruction of his father. But he felt very sad. So he retaliated, and he went back to his mischievous pranks again. And Jagannath Mishra, he told Sachi, we will let him do anything he wants, except study. So he began to go, and he would just break everything of everyone's. And Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, they didn't mind as long as he stayed home. And soon he started playing with his friends all day and all night. And so many things they would do. Sometimes they would go out in the day, and they would go to different places and make their plans of how to attack those places at night. And then Vishwambar and two other children would get under a sheet, and that sheet was covering them, and it looked like a big bull. And they would go to the places they spotted in the day, nice gardens or banana plantations, and they would just start running through like a bull and breaking down all the plants and all the trees. And then the owners of the house, in the middle of the night, they would get up and they would call out, "Hi, hi, what's happening?" And then the boys would run away. And sometimes they would go to people's houses and they would tie the doors closed from the outside. And then the people, in the middle of the night, when they had to pass urine or stool, they would try to get out of the house, and they couldn't get out. So what to do? Because in those days, there wasn't this indoor toilets. Now it wouldn't make so much difference. But in those days, people went outside for this responding to nature service. So they were in desperate conditions, and they would be calling out, "Who has locked my door?" And the children would watch, and they would laugh, and then they would run away. So they were all day and all night, they were like this. And Jagannath Mishra would let him do, as long as he remains uneducated and stays home. So one day, Jagannath Mishra went on a business trip. And Lord Chaitanya, the little child, he climbed up to the top of a pile of discarded pots that had already been used for cooking. The standard in Brahmin families in those days was you would use a clay pot to cook one time, and then you would discard it, and it would not be used again. And it was used over fire, so after you would use it, it would become completely black on the outside from the fire. So there was a big pile of these pots, and little Vishwambar climbed to the top. And while climbing, he became all full of black. He looked like a golden deity with black oils and fragrances smeared upon his body. And as he was on the top of this pile of dirty pots, he was smiling very sweetly. And some of the boys went and reported to Sachi Devi, that come to see what your child Vishwambar is doing. He is sitting in a pile of contaminated dirty pots. And Sachi Devi was very worried, "What is this?" And she came running to the place. And when she saw Nimai on the top of the pile, she said, "Nimai, come down. These pots are contaminated. Why are you doing this? This is not right. You are the son of a Brahmin." And by this time, so many neighbors had gathered, and he was smiling at them very nicely. And he said, "My mother, why you are talking like this? How could these pots be contaminated? Whatever I touch becomes pure. I am the source of all purity. Anywhere I go, it becomes holy. Nothing can be contaminated when in contact with me." And although he was speaking the truth, everyone around, they could not understand what he was saying. And then he said, "Besides, these pots were used for cooking for Vishnu, so they are pure. And whatever I come in contact with, however contaminated, it becomes the purest." And Sachi Mata, she said to Lord Vishwambar, "That you please come down. What are all these words you are speaking?" And Vishwambar said, "You are not allowing me to study? You want me to remain a fool? You want me to become... You will not allow me to be educated? So how can you expect me to discriminate what is right and what is wrong? What is clean and what is unclean? What is contaminated and what is uncontaminated? Unless you give me an education to understand these things." And then the people around, the other mothers and fathers and townspeople, they said to Sachi Devi, "What is this? You are not allowing him to study? You are so fortunate. You have a child that wants to study. It is such an austerity for a parent to get a child to study. They all want to do so many things and so many games. But your child loves to study? Such a fortune? What crazy enemy of yours have convinced you and influenced you to stop him from his studies? He is right. He is correct. And Vishwambhara was smiling. And Sachimata was very much embarrassed. And he wouldn't come down. So she climbed to the top of the pots herself. And she personally lifted up her son. And he was very smiling. And she brought him down. At that time, when he was speaking, Lord Chaitanya actually assumed his mood and form of Dattatreya, his bhav, as he was preaching this philosophy to his mother. And then Sachimata became very sad. And when Jagannath Mishra came home, she explained to him what all the townspeople had said. And then her heart revealed. She said, "Our son is very unhappy that we are not allowing him to study." And this was breaking her heart, that her child was unhappy. And then the townspeople came to Jagannath Mishra and said, "Actually, Krishna is the controller of everything. If Krishna wants your child to stay home, even if he's educated, he will stay home. But you should allow him to study. He's a very special." So then Jagannath Mishra, with great happiness in his heart, he told Vishwambhara that now you can continue your studies. And then Jagannath Mishra performed the sacred throat ceremony and offered Vishwambhara the Gayatri Mantra, and then he began his studies once again. So this wonderful pastime we are celebrating today. Of course, we know that later on, in his 24th year, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, although he had no need to do so for the benefit of other living beings, he also left his home and took sannyas, simply because he felt it was necessary for him to do to spread the message of the glories of the holy name throughout the world. It was the supreme sacrifice of compassion that has ever been manifest within this existence. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was sent by Lord Krishna to fulfill the dream and the desire of Lord Chaitanya. When he was just married and he just had one newborn son, one day Srila Prabhupada was walking through the streets of Calcutta with his dear friend Narendra, and his friend told him that there's a very, very great sadhu. His name is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami. And I want you to meet him. Because amongst Prabhupada's friends, Prabhupada told us that he was always the leader. And whatever he accepted, all of his friends would accept. And what he rejected, his friends rejected. So Narendra really wanted Prabhupada to meet Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati so that all the other friends would also accept him. So Srila Prabhupada said, "What is this? So many sadhus I have seen." Prabhupada had seen so many sadhus smoking the ganja and so many sadhus who make a living of collecting chapatis and cheating people. It was very rare to find a sadhu who was actually selflessly dedicating his life in the service of society by uplifting them with spiritual knowledge and inspiration. So Prabhupada was hesitant. But somehow Narendra convinced him to go. This was the first place that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati began a center on Ultadanga Junction Road in Calcutta. And they first came in, and they were greeted by some brahmacharis, and they were brought to the terrace. A terrace very similar to this terrace we are sitting on tonight. And on one side of the terrace, the rooftop, there was a jackfruit tree that was coming from the ground. And under the shade of that jackfruit tree was a beautiful Vyasasan. And on that seat, His Divine Grace, Paramhamsa Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was sitting. And coming from Vaishnav family, Srila Prabhupada, whose name was then Abhay Charan, and his friend Narendra, they bowed down. They offered their prostrated obeisances. And before they even got up from their obeisances to sit down properly, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave Srila Prabhupada a life mission. You are both intelligent young men. You should spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya throughout the world in the English language. And Srila Prabhupada was very shocked. I have not even been introduced to this person, and he's giving me a life mission. So he sat down. At that time, Srila Prabhupada was very much following directions from Mahatma Gandhi. So, in a very unchallenging but sincere way, Srila Prabhupada said that how can we expect the world to accept the teachings of Sanatana Dharma, Lord Chaitanya, when India is a dependent country? This is secondary teaching religion. First thing is we must get the dignity and integrity of our country by independence from the British. And when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur heard this, he replied with great compassion and great conviction. He said that politics are always changing. One party is in control, another party isn't controlling. This is always in a changed state of transience. But there is one supreme truth, and that is service to the Supreme Lord Krishna. And it is that Krishna consciousness which is the only solution to the problems of this world. It is an emergency. People are wasting their valuable human form of lives, simply making so many material arrangements, and they die. This world is a blazing fire. There is one truth, that we are the eternal soul and we have the eternal relationship with God, with Krishna. And it's understanding that can solve the real problems of the world. The only real welfare there is liberating the soul in Krishna consciousness. It cannot wait. It must be now. And when Srila Prabhupada, drinking the nectarine words of truth from his spiritual master, he accepted him as his Guru Maharaj at that time in his heart. And he took that instruction as his life and soul. And he fulfilled his obligations as a Grihastha for many long years. But in his heart, he was continually meditating on doing the work his spiritual master had given him. As he was a Grihastha, he was always anxious to help in so many ways his godbrothers in the Gaudiya Math. Later on in Allahabad, the place where Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada accepted initiation from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And at one time, Srila Prabhupada, for his business purposes of responsibly maintaining his ashram of Grihastha, he was living in Bombay. And two of his godbrothers, Srila Bhakti Sharanga Goswami Maharaj and Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, two great sannyasis. They learned that he was here and they asked him, please help us to start a center. It is our Guru Maharaj's desire. So Srila Prabhupada here in Bombay, actually practically every part of Bombay Srila Prabhupada had preached. This is a holy place. You may not know it and you may not recognize it, but this is a Tirtha. Srila Prabhupada and these other two great sannyasis would go from house to house and place to place. Prabhupada would arrange the programs and he would lead kirtan and they would speak and they would raise funds, and soon they started a Gaudiya Math temple. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was so pleased with these three disciples that he came to Bombay to install the deities. In fact, the place where the first Gaudiya Math is just a few minutes from where Radha Gopinath Temple is, near Grant Road. And when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati installed the deities, the devotees there, they said to him that this Abhay Charanaravinda, he is such a good preacher and he is so dedicated, he's so empowered, he should be the president of this temple. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, knowing the mission of his dearmost disciple, he said, he will do everything in due course of time. Now he should continue as he is. So Srila Prabhupada continued until his children were settled to a large extent. continued until his children were settled to a large extent. And of course, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati left this world. And as Srila Prabhupada served his godbrothers and served his guru's mission, he started in the 1940s the Back to Godhead magazine. And he would personally write the articles. He would personally edit it. He would personally type it. He would personally take it to the printers. He would personally buy the paper. He had no one to help him. He would personally raise all the funds for it single-handedly. The printer, sometimes he had no money. He would just say, just print it, I will pay you sometime. The printer would say, but so many times you're saying this. But the printer could not refuse. And Prabhupada was very responsible in all of his debts. Somehow or other, he just depended on Krishna. And who was his distributors? There was only one distributor of this magazine, Srila Prabhupada, of Hai Charanaravinda. He would go out himself to the tea stalls and to the marketplaces and to the bazaars and to people's homes, and he would preach to them and get them to somehow take a magazine or accept a subscription. Later on in his life, he was getting dreams, repeated dreams, where his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, would stand before him as the very embodiment of devotion and knowledge. And he would say, come, come, come with me. Take sannyas and preach throughout the world. And when Srila Prabhupada was still in grihastha life and he got this dream, he thought, was thinking, how horrible. How could I leave all these things? As the years went by, he took vanaprast as the Vedic system ordains. And he was living in Vrindavan. And he was doing his writings of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was also doing his Back to Godhead. And this dream came again and again. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would come before him and call him. I have given you a mission. Take sannyas and fulfill this mission. Srila Prabhupada did not want to take sannyas for prestige. He wanted to take it for the only reason that Lord Chaitanya took it, to facilitate the need of society, to fulfill the compassion of himself and all the previous acharyas, to spread Krishna's mercy to the world. So he wrote to the leading Gaudiya Math in Calcutta, and he expressed his desire. And the head of that mat wrote back to him that you want us to print your books and you want to take sannyas. First you come here and you live comfortably. We will give you a nice, well-lit, airy room. And you become a part of our temple and you serve the society of this temple for some time. And then we will consider giving you sannyas after some years. And as far as your books, we have so many other books we want to print, and we have so little money, so there is not much hope for this in the near future. So Srila Prabhupada understood that they were facing many difficulties themselves, but he also understood the order his spiritual master gave him. So one day he approached one of his godbrothers in Mathura, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj. And Srila Keshav Maharaj said, you must take sannyas, now, immediately, no wait. Our guru has given you an order. You cannot preach all over the world and start such a movement unless you are a sannyasi. So you must do it now. And Prabhupada, after hearing from the other acharya of another Gaudiya Math, saying you should wait, you should take your time, he was thinking, maybe not now. But Prabhupada said that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, through Keshav Maharaj, told him immediately, now he would not leave him alone. You must. Bhaktivedanta Prabhu. So Srila Prabhupada understood with all humility that this is what his Guru Maharaj desired. So it was today. We are celebrating the anniversary. September 17th, by the English calendar, 1959, that Srila Prabhupada went to Mathura, to the Sri Keshavji Gaudiya Math. And there, with one other 90-year-old man named Sanatan, who was his godbrother, they sat before the sacred fire and they accepted the vows of sannyas. Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was leading kirtan, Srila Narayan Maharaj was performing the fire yajna, and Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj told our devotees, he was the best, most wonderful kirtan singer in all the Gaudiya Math. In fact, by Krishna's grace, when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I lived with him for several months. And it was from him that I learned Murdanga and initially learned Krishna Kirtan and Krishna Bhajans. He was one of the dearest, most beloved friends of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, I remember sometimes in the Gaudiya Maths, due to various reasons, there was sometimes disagreements and conflicts between different maths. But Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was welcome everywhere. He was beyond all these things. If there was a big festival in any Gaudiya Math, as soon as I would sometimes go to these places with him, as soon as they would walk in, everyone would bow down and give him the murdanga and say, you lead the kirtan. And he would lead wonderful, wonderful kirtans. And he was a very old man, but he would play murdanga and dance and sing with such devotion. Thrilled the heart. So he came because he loved Srila Prabhupada dearly. He came for his sannyas initiation and he was singing bhajan and kirtan. He was a wonderful murdanga player. I remember one of my godbrothers years later went to Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj and kept asking him all these technical beats for murdanga. But actually, although he knew so much, he would usually play very simple. And this person wanted to know all the details of these beats. And Krishnadas Babaji would just tell him, you just think about the mantra, don't think about the beats. And yet he would say, no, no, just teach me this. And he would just, you just chant Hare Krishna. In fact, that's all he ever said. He practically never said anything except Hare Krishna. I knew him for 2 months and I didn't think he spoke English. Because every time I'd see him, he would say Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And one night, I was mischievous. Because I was living in the Gaudiya Math, and I decided to, with some other devotees, to do parikrama of Vrindavan. It was Kartik. So I was out all night doing parikrama of Vrindavan. And I came back. And I started doing that every night, but I'd make it back for Mangal Arati, so the devotees didn't know I was gone. But one night I was late for Mangal Arati. So then I was taking bath at the well, and I heard a voice behind me. It said, where were you for Mangal Arati? And I turned around, and it was Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. And I assumed he didn't speak English, so I was wondering, I don't know who said this. So I went on with my bath. And he said, where were you for Mangal Arati? And I turned around, and there was no one there but him. So I didn't know where the voice was coming from. So I went on with my bath. And then the third time, he said, "Where were you for Mangalarti?" And I turned around and looked at him and had no, there was no question in my mind that he could be speaking in English. And as I was looking at him right in the face, he looked at me and said, "Why you do not answer my question?" And then I understood he spoke English. Because every time I saw him, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna," that's all he said. He was a transcendental personality. Sometimes I would get dysentery. I'm telling you secret stories. And in the middle of the night, I would go to outside through the latrine. And to go there, I had to go by his room, his little bhajan kutir. And it didn't matter what time of day or night, any time you went by that bhajan kutir, you would hear, just pouring out from the walls, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare." He would chant day and night. Nobody knew when he would sleep. He was always chanting the holy names. So he came for Srila Prabhupada's sannyas. And as other mantras was being chanted, Krishnadas Babaji told us the story. That one of the devotees told him that, "Don't chant so loud, let the mantras be chanted." So he stopped chanting. And then Prabhupada turned to him and said, "Chant." Prabhupada was sitting at the yajna. And then someone would say, no, you stop chanting." So he was humble. To chant like Krishnadas Babaji constantly, you have to be Trinara Pisuni Chena, Torora Pisa Hishnana, Amanina Manadena Kirataniya Sadhani. So very humbly he would stop chanting. He would just, not stop chanting, but not chant loud. He would never stop chanting. So then Prabhupada said, "Chant, chant, louder." So Krishnadas Babaji said, at that moment I knew that this is a man who has complete faith in the holy name, and he is the man who will be empowered to spread the holy name throughout the world. Srila Prabhupada ki! So during this ceremony, Srila Keshav Maharaj gave his sannyas initiation talk. And then he did something that was very unprecedented. He asked one of the people who was going to be initiated, Bhakti Vedanta Prabhu, he said, "Now you give a lecture." There was no invitations sent out because it was a very sudden decision when the sannyas initiation would be. They wanted to have it on this auspicious day of Vishwarup Mahotsava. So the only people at the mat were just the regular brahmacharis and devotees. And except for Keshav Maharaj, Narayan Maharaj, and a few others, Krishnadas Babaji, none of them spoke English. They were all either Hindi-speaking or mostly Bengali-speaking. Srila Prabhupada knew all these languages fluently. But when he was asked to speak, he understood what his Guru Maharaj desired. And he gave his lecture in English. Because he was taking sannyas for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world in the English language. Because that is the world's language. And then he accepted the order. And he was given the name A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. And by Srila Prabhupada's great act of renunciation of sannyas, he dedicated his body, his mind, his words, and his very life to compassionately give us the mercy of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Today is one of the most important days for the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today is the day that Srila Prabhupada formally made this step of total sacrifice to save us from the repetition of birth and death and give us entrance into the eternal world of divine love, Goloka Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada ki. And Srila Prabhupada's message and mercy is available to everyone. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, the means of achieving Krishna Prema, Krishna Bhakti, is through the congregational chanting of the holy names of Radha and Krishna. So at this time, let us offer our lives at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and celebrate his mercy.